Well, the government's proposed anti-gang laws are facing pushback from lawyers, rights groups and former gang members. Parliament has been hearing submissions on the Gang Legislation Amendment Bill, which would ban gang patches and allow police to stop gangs congregating. Many at a Justice Select Committee yesterday pointed to years of reports that assess what drivers of crime are and gang membership, and they called for an approach that targets those aspects. We're joined now by Police Minister Mark Mitchell. Kia ora, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Corin.
There were a number of submitters yesterday who felt that just the bill, how workable it will be, was at issue here. Are you considering any changes, such as that recommended by the Free Speech Union, about narrowing just exactly who is a gang and making it clearer as to who is determined is a gang?
Well, I mean, it's a Select Committee process, so those are submissions to the Select Committee. They will then provide a report back on the submissions that they've heard, and we will look at any of the recommendations or any of the sort of information that flows from that.
Does it worry you that a number of legal groups, Free Speech Union and others, are saying this is bad law?
Not at all. It doesn't worry me at all. We're very committed. We're going to be banning gang patches in our country. There's only one reason why they wear them, and that is to try and frighten and intimidate the communities that they're in. And by the way, there's a trail of tears flowing along behind those gang patches, because they don't just get them handed out. They have to show that they've got a propensity for violent crime. Rape used to be often a pathway towards getting a gang patch, and we want them gone.
Yeah, I understand all of your arguments, but the argument again is that the law itself is bad law. It won't actually do anything. It won't address those issues, and there are better ways to do it.
Well, we think it's very good law. We think that the gangs in this country feel that they're above the law, and I think when you see their response to our proposed banning of gang patches, it's very clear that we've got a problem here, that they do think that they're above the law and they don't have to abide by it. And we're sending a clear message that we are getting rid of one of the instruments to intimidate communities.
There was a good example given yesterday at the committee, wasn't it? Because I think it was Eugene Ryder who fronted up wearing a number of different T-shirts that had gang insignia or suggested that. And there was a question, an open question, as to whether any of those would come under the new law. And that is the difficulty that is going to be faced here.
Well, I don't think it's going to be difficult. I think that you have got a list there of gangs in New Zealand, and any gang insignia or gang patches associated with those gangs are going to be banned from being publicly displayed and used to intimidate members of the public.
So what happens when someone wears a black T-shirt with a piece of red on it or a piece of blue on it that is obviously... What?
If you want to fill your boots, if you want to wear a black T-shirt or a red T-shirt, you go for it.
And you don't see that as potentially being an issue if that is used, nevertheless, to intimidate because it's worn by someone who was a gang member?
But if they put swastikas and gang insignia and mongrel mob and black power and headhunters or whatever other gang you want, then it's gone.
Just very quickly before we move on to some cyclone issues, there was a story too, I think it was News Hub running yesterday, about police actually wanted you to go further. Allow them to search and seize gang paraphernalia on premises after they'd suspected someone might have broken this gang insignia law. Would you go that far?
Well, the police wanted a search power, and I agree with that. They need to have a search power, and they've got that in the bill. So if gang members choose to ignore our police officers, and they've been threatening to do that, and unfortunately in this country we've arrived at a place where gang members do think that they can threaten our police and threaten members of the public and think they're above the law, they're not. And if they choose not to comply with frontline police officers when they're told to remove the patches from public view, then the police now will have a search warrant
for 7 days.
Houses and search their houses.
Because that was what was recommended. 7 days afterwards.
No, they can apply for a search warrant immediately.
No, I understand that, but it's for up to anyone suspected displaying gang insignia for up to 7 days. It's quite a wide ranging. Law, is that something is possible?
Well, we want to put as much pressure on gangs in this country as we can. So that is something that's in front of the Select Committee, and the Select Committee can come back with any recommendations.
Okay. To the issue with the cyclone and a number of recommendations now before you, what would you see as the top priority that may not require a full rewrite of the law, which is what you're doing, that is going to make people feel safer in the short term? What's something you can offer people up this morning?
Well, I just think that obviously one of the things highlighted in the report was refocusing of NEMA. And look, we'd already started doing that as an incoming government. Professionalisation, obviously, of the comptrollers and and people involved in leading emergency management. That's something that we can roll out and start working on immediately. But obviously, the heavy lifting, the really important work is going to be around putting together a proper fit-for-purpose, world-class emergency management legislation. And that is why I went to Cabinet and asked for that bill to be discharged. It became very, the current bill that was in front of the Select Committee, it was very clear that it sort of was on the fringes. It needed a lot more work done on it, and we're committed to doing that. We're going to do that with urgency, but we're going to make sure that as a country, we've got world-class legislation that's going to set us up to make sure that we're able to deal with weather events and states of emergency.
Legislation is one thing, but it's hardware, isn't it? It's actually infrastructure. I mean, in 2017, to be fair, the last government, they looked at this issue of a common operating platform for all of the emergency agencies, so they were all on the same song sheet when something happened. That seemed to have got ditched, as did the upgrade to the 111 system. They went with a slightly smaller option there. Why do we need legislation for these? Why can't you just look at the business case for these, which has been done, presumably, and get on with it?
Well, because the legislation, everything flows from the legislation. It codifies and clearly explains command and control, responsibilities, communications. That's the building block. We've got to have a solid platform, and everything will flow from that. And that's why it's so critically important that we get this legislation right.
Yeah, well, as Phil Pennington mentioned this morning, though, the last minister said the same thing. And it took too long. And in the interim, you're going to have potentially another, heaven forbid, and touch wood, another awful natural disaster. We just don't have that time.
Well, I'm not going to speak to the last government, the last minister. All I'd say is that the current legislation clearly didn't go far enough. We are committed to make sure that we do. Me personally, as the minister, I'm heavily committed to this. I have my own electorate that was deeply impacted and affected by the flooding events. I consider myself in touch with the front line. I'm a member of a Swiftwater rescue team, and I was mobilised during those events. Right through to obviously my responsibility at a strategic level and a national level to make sure that we get it right, both nationally.
Look, I don't doubt you are absolutely 100% committed to this, and why wouldn't you be? But the issue will be money and whether you can get the money that is required to do this. I mean, if you just look at the 111 system, that will be hundreds of millions of dollars, let alone a national emergency platform plus warning systems that need to be upgraded. Where is the money going to come from? And secondly, would you consider taking it from climate change funding?
Well, the fact of the matter is, Corin, as incoming government, it became very obvious that, yes, we've got decaying infrastructure that needs investment, and we're committed to doing that. But we have to do that in a measured and a well-planned way, because obviously we're in a position at the moment as a country where we've been living well beyond our means, and we have to start to move back get ourselves back in surplus again. So, but in terms of those investment decisions and budgets, those are decisions that will lie with Cabinet, and that will be part of the process that I go through now in terms of the rebuild of the legislation and clearly identifying what we need to do around mitigation and reduction for ourselves as a country as well.
But you'll bring a commitment to bring urgency to this, because you can see the frustration that this 26 reports into this last issue in last flooding issue. There's been numerous other natural disasters where there have been reports, review after review after review, recommendations, hundreds of them. I mean, how much further do we need, how much more do we need to do?
Well, I agree with you. I think we have an opportunity right now. I think that the timing is right. We've been through Cyclone Gabriel and the awful human cost that we've all seen associated with that, and the flooding events in Auckland, and we've run out of time. We have to get this done, and we're going to do that.
Alrighty, thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate that. That is the Police Minister, Mark Mitchell.